God's people don't raise up, there will be nobody. If the church doesn't say, he's got this, he's the way maker, there's no hope. You are the living hope. This week and last week and next week and next week, you are the only thing that many people are turning to. You are the only person they rely on, whether you realize that or not. You are it. God spoke that to me this past week more than ever. He said, you're the guy speaking life to this situation. You're the one I placed in the position at this divine time, right here, right now. You're it. Are you ready? Are you ready? You got to be ready, church. It's like I preached last week, you got to be prepared. You got to come into the battle ready to go. Fear not. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, thank you. Lord God, thank you that you are the way maker. Thank you, Lord God, that you have positioned us in this divine time, for this divine place. Lord, thank you for everything that we do. Every movement we make, we rely on the Waymaker, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that you have made our path straight. Lord God, when I get off path, you bring me back. Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, when things don't look as positive as I think they should look, Lord God, you speak to me not to fear, that you are in control, that you've got it handled. Lord God, let me get out of your way. Let me get out of your way. Forgive me, Lord, if I'm in your way, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you remind me day in and day out that you have everything under control, that you are the way maker, that you keep me exactly where I need to be. And then you reposition me where I need to go. Thank you for that, Lord. Even when I don't even see it, even when I don't understand it, even when I don't realize it, you're in control. Lord God, I pray for each and every one of these fine people that have come in here today, Lord God, walked into the house of Calvary Church, wanting to hear, needing to hear from heaven. Speak to them today, Lord God. And Father, as we depart later, we go back out to our homes and jobs and community, let us take whatever you had for us today back out to the battlefield to speak life to a hurting and dying world. We thank you, Lord God, that you have selected us for that assignment. And Lord God, we thank you that you have equipped us, prepared us, readied us. All we need to do is listen, hear you, and obey you. And we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, why don't you wave to somebody and tell them you're so happy that they are in Calvary Church today. We're not shaking hands or hugging everybody just to make everybody feel comfortable. I don't want anyone to be uncomfortable. But boy, just, I don't know about you, but when I come into the church on a Sunday morning, I am just like home. I just feel like everything that's going on out in the community and the state and the world, it just could stay exactly where it's at, because I just feel when I come into God's house that there's this spiritual wall that doesn't allow anything to come with me that's out there. And I just come in here and say, I'm good. How about you? How about you? Hey, if you're watching online today, welcome to Calvary Church. We so appreciate the comments that you continue to send to me, and our reach is so wide and large, it's a kind of amazing that we just are just amazed that people continue to come into our live stream and continue to watch. Not that that amazes me, but it just amazes me how far away some of them are. Boston, South Carolina, Oregon, and Austin, Texas, thank you for joining today in these past few weeks, and it's been wonderful to hear from you and find out that you've been watching things here at Calvary Church. And I'm so appreciative that, you know, even though lots of things tell you on the news, not good English, but Not bad preaching, right? Yeah, it's all right. That we still come into God's house, right? We're just still going to come in and, you know, they tell us to wear a mask, we'll wear a mask. But I got to tell you, church, all right, now I this is probably not going to be the most politically correct thing to do. But I'm going to do it anyways, right? How many are just getting tired of wearing a mask? You know, I'm just, yes, yes. I'm in the right crowd, but we continue to do what we're asked to do. And just two hands, Thad, thank you, right? We do what we're asked to do. Thank you so much. And the restaurants, you know, this is the kind of cute story. I was talking to somebody the other day, and you can relate to this. If how many now have gone to, still go to a restaurant and have some food, right? Okay, that's, boy, that's a lot of hands. So I'm told I got to wear my mask, and I'm okay. I'll do what, you know, be a good citizen and do what we have to do. And we go in and, you know, but we got to wear the mask when we go in, right? You got to wear the mask when you're waiting to get seated. Be seated. Get seated. Be seated. That's good. Whatever, you know. And then when I get to my seat, I can take it off. I know that, you know, when I get to that safe haven booth, because I got to have a booth, right? When I get to that booth, that nothing's going to touch me there, right? Nothing's going to float my way. I'm good, right? But we still do what we have to do. And yeah, we get tired of it. But we'll continue to do it. We'll continue to be good citizens. And we'll come into church and we'll wear our mask. And, you know, if you want to take it off, you've got a health problem, obviously you don't need to do that. I'm just so thrilled that I come up to the pulpit today and I see somebody in my church has been praying over this because they've anointed it with oil and put the cross on it. So whoever's done that, because I don't know, but I appreciate that. Thank you. I feel like, hey, someone's praying for me. We all need prayer, right? Amen. Yep, amen, amen. Do you feel like this is God's divine time for you? Amen. That you're just like in the right place at the right time? I do. I just feel like just right place, right time. That right here, right now, I'm standing here, and this is exactly where I'm supposed to be at this exact moment. It's going to be amazing when you get to heaven. And God gives you this viewpoint that you have never had before because we're in our humanness, right? But when we get to heaven, we're going to have this perspective that's like beyond 3D, right? Omnipresent, omnipotent. You know, it's going to be like, and he's going to give you these viewpoints that we've never had. And you're going to look and say, wow, I remember that. And all these situations I was in and how the hand of God placed you there and then took you out and placed you over here, took you out and moved us around. I kind of feel like I'm on a chessboard, you know. And then when I get to heaven, it's checkmate. Right? When I get to heaven, it's checkmate. That's it. I win. But while I'm here, God's got to use me. While we're here, God's got to use you. He's got a purpose and a plan. He wants to do something with you. He wants you to be used. And I really think about that a lot. God, am I being used and doing everything that you want me to do? Am I in the right spot? I feel I am. Right place, right time. Till God speaks otherwise, we just kind of hunker down and say, this is it, right? You know exactly what that means because we talked about that. I preached on that last week. I preached on right place, right time, divine time, God's positioning of your life. Today, we're going to talk about God repositioning your life. What? We don't stay in the same position our whole lives? You could. But then there's other times that God says, "Up, I want to take you someplace else, right? I've got something else for you." We call that an assignment. I call that God's assignment. But last week we talked about divine time. And what that means is when God calls you to a specific time in a specific position or situation, his divine intervention places us there. Right time, right place, right place, right time. And God often selects your weakest position to do the greatest work. He selects my weaknesses to be glorified. And my wife says that's because God wants bigger glory. That's what she says at home. She says that often. You know, she says, "Oh, well, that's, You know, the phrase is when I say something, I say, well, this happened or that happened or this situation occurred at the church. Or, you know, I say this phrase, I wonder how we're going to do it now. Just as a matter of fact, I say, I wonder how we're going to do it now. And she says, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because it just gives God greater glory. But people can see there's no way that we could pull it off. Right time, right place. God's always on time. I get in his way, you get in his way, but sometimes we just got to get out, all the time, we just got to get out of his way. We used Exodus 7:1 last week as a part of our text. The Lord told Moses, listen, I have positioned you as God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will back you up. He'll be your prophet. He's sending him to deliver the Israelites from Egypt captivity for hundreds of years. He says, you're the guy. We talked about what listen means, right? To hear it and then obey it. There's your position. Lots of times I hear it and I'm not listening because I'm not obeying, because listening means in the Hebrew to hear it and obey it. We talked about that last week. And God places you right in that right place at the right time, regardless of whether you feel you're the person for the assignment. God, that's not me. Moses says, I can't do that. I can't go lead millions of people out of captivity. That's not who I am. And God says, I'm the way maker. I'm the promise keeper. I'll make the light in the darkness path for you. Just go do what I tell you to do. I've got it. And Moses finally figures that out, right? He goes and does that. But sometimes we spend more time trying to get out of the situation like Moses did than realizing why God placed us in the situation in the first place. So here's Moses, we talked about last week, arguing with God. I can't do that. That's you and I. I don't know about you, but God, I can't do that. That's not me. I can't do that. I can't sing in the church. God knows I can't do that. Yeah, God knows I can't do that. Yeah, I could barely preach. Can't sing. But there'll come a day, if you know the story of Calvary Church, we'll all have to sing. I leave that up to you when. If you've been around the church long enough to know the story, I'm not going to rehash it. But when I know that it's time to sing, then I know attendance is going to go down. I know, right? Attendance is like, whoo, it's gone. Keys to understanding God's positioning last week. We talked about this. God never positions perfect people. He never positions perfect people. If he did, nobody would get positioned. But he does position obedient ones. Obey. He's just looking for people who obey. He'll be the way maker and make the path straight and help you out, but he's looking for people to just be obedient. God always requires preparation before he positions you. We talked about this last week, a little review for you. God will not position unbelief. You got to believe. You got to believe he's got something for you. We talked about that last week, and several of you commented to me about that. Your situations, your testimonies, what God is doing with you in your personal life, what is going on and how that affected your life and divine time and all that. But what happens if God calls you at a specific time for a specific assignment, but you're already in another position or assignment? What do you do? Or you realize you're just in the wrong position altogether. What do you do? And that's the topic of today. Sometimes it just takes a wrong turn to get to the right place. Right? That's the story in the Bible. And the Israelites, they came out of Egypt, out of their captivity, and Moses is leading them. But they made a lot of wrong turns because God just got tired of the whining. So we kept them out there until they learned a lesson. Right? So what happens when we're in a position that we felt that's what we're going to do? There we are. We like this comfort thing. You know, we do. Come on. We like to be really comfortable and, you know, oh, Pastor, I'm really comfortable. God's got me right where I want to be. I'm in my comfort zone. Boy, that's a tough thing to say. Because as soon as you get there and you start confessing that, God says, oh, wait, it's time to get repositioned, right? And that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about making a change in your position, which I call repositioning. Last week, it was divine time, right place, right time, position. This is God's position, but today, it is repositioning. And I'm going to take you to Matthew 4, 18 through 20. Many of you know this story. This is just the greatest repositioning scripture I could think of off the top of my head, just to start us today. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus ready to start his ministry, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Right? None of this, right? They threw that net. They were a little smarter than me, right? They're going to catch bunches of fishes, right? And Jesus said to them, follow me. Excuse me. And I will make you fishers of men. And they immediately left their nets and followed him. That, folks, is a monumental reposition. One second, they're doing what they have been doing for a long time. Hanging out by the sea, going out on a boat, throwing that in the water, grabbing fish, bringing it home, doing what they do, doing the same thing next day. Day in and day out. That's pretty comfortable, making a living. They were fishermen. Here's this guy, shows up on the side of the lake, walks up to them and says, two words, follow me. And the scripture speaks it so big. It doesn't say they took notes. It doesn't say they decided to have a board meeting. It didn't say that they started to go home and ask their wives if they were allowed. Nothing. What's it say? They immediately made a decision. Immediately. It wasn't like Jesus was like walking on the water at that point. They just knew that there was a repositioning coming in their lives. And they moved out. And Jesus says, I'll help you fish for men. Boy, that's intriguing. What's he speaking to you today? Is he repositioning you? Maybe after the sermon today, he will. You're in a season of a position. And God might be starting to speak to you, saying, this is your repositioning day. He's got a new assignment. And why does he do that? Why does he take us out of the comfort zone of our position and takes us someplace else? Well, I started looking for the answer to that. I mean, God, what is that? Came up with a few points. He wants me to know who I really am. He wants me to know who he really is. You know, I kind of get lost when I'm in the same position all the time. I kind of like, you know, I start forgetting the whole thing. You know, the power of God and what he's done. You know, we kind of get stale. Do you ever remember, really think about what church used to be like in the other sanctuary? You're all laughing, right? Right? Does it feel like we've been here a while? He repositioned us over here. For those watching online, we came from another building, a smaller building, to a much larger building, bigger area, a little bit more lights, right? What else does he do? He does this to let me know what I can become, bigger than where I'm at, a new assignment. Then he also speaks to me, this is what I expect you to do. That's a reposition. I get to know more about me. I get to know more about God. I get to know more about what I can do. I get to learn more about what he expects from me. That's a reposition. Those are the four big things that I'm thinking, hey, that's really good. Hey, I get that. I understand that. I understand that really well. until we get to the position he wants to send us to, and then we say, whoa, wait, I don't want to do that. I can't speak real well. I can't go deliver 4 million people from captivity. It's just not me. I can't. That's too big of an assignment. I can't go there. I can't take that new job. I can't help that person. There's a person broke down on the side of the road. I can't be repositioned to being a mechanic. I don't know anything about cars, if that's you, because I know a little bit. But I can't do this. Whatever. There's the excuses. They show up because we put limitations on God. Right? We put limitations. Here's a thought. So many people base what they are doing, where and when they are doing it, based on how somebody else positioned them. So sometimes God has to reposition us to make the place that got crooked straight. Excuse me. No, that's not a COVID cough. Take it easy. That's not. Yeah, would you please, dear? Mike says you need some water. Excuse me. I don't bring water up here too much. Thank you. My wife's got me working so hard at the house, I can barely do this. She really doesn't. So God has repositioned us to make a place that got crooked. So here's, you know, I think about that a lot. I think, God, is there a reason why I need to go do something else? Is there a reason why you're reassigning me? Let me give you a quick little story, because, you know, this is our family. I used this here a few weeks ago. I don't think our oldest will mind if I use this again. But, you know, he'll reposition you in jobs and situations and church ministries and, you know, whatever. But, you know, our oldest was hired into this really great job a couple years ago at this company. And he was a project manager. We told this here a few weeks ago. And then because of the situation we're in, the season we're in with coronavirus and whatnot, the company had to switch gears and they had to reassign him, reposition him into something else that he was never hired in to do. And he did that for quite a number of months and was traveling all over the eastern part of the country, you know, and it was wearing him down. So he's saying, God, I need repositioned. I didn't sign up for this one, but I'm okay. I did it for a while, but now it's not going to change. When they told him it wasn't going to change, that's your new position. Until further notice, he's asking for it to be repositioned. So he goes and starts asking for the repositioned assignment, and that starts coming along the way. And his lovely wife, our daughter-in-law, sees the truck going down the street saying, that's the new company. Right, Savannah, if you're out there, right? And she prays, that's it. That's the new assignment. That's the new repositioning place of employment. Now, where do you think he's working today? That company. How long has he been there? 2 weeks. Has he had to travel? No. It's a new position? Yes. Is this a new assignment? Yes. God will reposition you. How long is he going to be there, Pastor? I don't know. Until what happens? God repositions him again. It could be 30 years. Right, Mom? You're like, 8 to 5, Monday through Friday, local, lives right behind the church, you know, right? See, what they don't understand sometimes is that the prayer of the preacher and the prayer of a mom and dad are a whole lot more powerful than what they think, right? Father, we want them home 8 to 5. We don't want the traveling anymore. We want the weekends. We want the evenings. God, give them a new assignment, right, Mom? Is that right? That's right. And that's what happens. And then you get the wife in there praying the same prayer, and you're done. You're done. You're going to go where we say you're going to go and work the job we say you're going to work, right? That's not how God works. But that's how it works, right? Here's a couple examples for you. God may be closing a door that was once open. God, you opened this door for me. Now it's closing. Reposition, right? He also will maneuver you into a new assignment. He'll maneuver you. Maneuver me. He'll put you over here. He'll put you over here. He'll reposition you here. He'll use me. He's been using this re-maneuvering thing for me for the last few weeks with many people. Some of you here, and you know who you are. Some watching right now, you know who you are. He's used me and my wife to reposition and maneuver us to a certain situation to help for a certain season. Does that a lot. Same phrase here, same thought. God often selects your weakest reposition to do his greatest work. See, now it moves into a reposition to do not the greatest work, but His greatest work in my life through me. We call that here at Calvary Church speaking life. We go out and speak life. I am so thrilled that I see it and hear it often around here. I hear it. It's sinking in. That's what God's people do at this church. We speak life to everybody. We don't care about your, you know, political beliefs or whatever. We're still going to speak life, spiritual life to you. Right? We're going to do it. We show no favoritism. We don't show any bias. We're going to go and speak life. Let me give you a story right out of the scripture, Acts chapter 4:14. And you know the story, the Apostle Paul. You know, the Apostle Paul, if you know the story, and I'm sure many of you do, he wasn't the greatest guy in the world at the beginning, right? Fact, he was just kind of downright nasty, right? How many know that? He wasn't your next-door neighbor, right? He wasn't your pillar of neighbors that would come over and mow your grass if you were a believer initially. But in Acts chapter 14, God wanted to reposition his life. Jesus showed up to him, had a little conversation with him, right? If you know the story. Boy, I tell you what, there's a reposition for you, folks. And Jesus shows up, looks you in the eye, and then asks big questions. Like, what are you doing this to me for? Why are you persecuting me, Saul, at the time, right? His name got changed to Paul later. What are you doing this for? But then I know this story about right after he converted his life, he got really juiced up. He got repositioned. Paul gets repositioned. Now he's from Saul to Paul. He's repositioned. Now he's not persecuting Christians. He's a believer. What a powerful believer. But Paul got a little anxious. Jumped right into the ministry, really hard and fast. Right? He just dove in. No divine time, no right place, right time. He says, I'm going to do this. And he goes to this town called Lystra, a little village. The Bible doesn't give you a whole lot about Lystra, but it does tell you Paul went there to preach. And they didn't want to hear it. Who's this guy? All of a sudden now he's telling me all about God and this Jesus. And who's he? Just yesterday, he was over there persecuting him and wanting to kill them all. Today, he's telling me how great he is. They beat him, and they dragged him out of the city, and they left him on the edge of town. So Scripture says, right? Robin, right? Yeah, that's what it says. And there he lays, beaten. Beaten. Boy, there's a reposition for you. I meet Jesus on this road, right, Damascus Road, and all of a sudden I have this conversion. My goodness, and I'm so charged up. Let's go into the ministry. Let's get repositioned into the ministry. And we go out, and first town I go to, they beat me senseless and drag me outside to the edge of town. They just drop me. There's a reposition for you, right? Wow. You get into Acts chapter 14. I don't have it as a scripture, but here's what it says. Paul returned to the next day. He went back into town. Beaten and bruised. He put the band-aids on, right? Got the crutches or whatever he had to do. He goes back into town because he says, I ain't done. I got repositioned for a reason, and a beating is not going to stop me. I'm going back in town. And he says this in verse 21, Acts 14, 21. He says, you got to continue in the faith. And through the hardships, you've got to use those to enter the kingdom. So he says, I got repositioned, but it never says during the reposition that it's going to be a really smooth road. I'm going to get beat on. Wow. But he went back into town. Next day, the Bible says, I'm not finished yet in that town yet. It's just a powerful story. God repositioned Paul right back to where the enemy didn't want him to be. Uh-oh. Pastor, are you saying I'm going to get repositioned to where the enemy doesn't want me to be? Yes. Does that mean I'm going to get physically beat? I don't know. Ask some of the missionaries we support. And let them tell you the story. Does that mean I'm going to happen this in Canton, Ohio? I don't think so, but maybe. Who knows? I don't know. Here's another story. 1 Kings chapter 19. How many know the story of Elijah and Jezebel? Now, Jezebel was a really peach. She was the sweetest thing. I mean, she was just like the nicest lady. What? She wasn't? I don't know. She just seemed like such a nice person, right? You know the story. She was a wicked lady. She was a wicked queen, married to the king. The Bible says the king was the worst king ever up until that time. Awful. He goes and gets an awful lady. Now they're just a bunch of awfulness, right? And they brought in worshiping of all these idols and whatnot, and you know the story, I'm sure, and they bring in all these things, and it's not godly things. And so here's the Israelites saying, well, wait, I thought I had to worship the God of, you know, heaven, and now they want me to worship these idols and Baal and all this other stuff, and what do we do? And, you know, the Scripture teaches us that, you know, they start killing off the prophets of God, and it's one by one, and they're leaving, and you get down to one guy, Elijah, he's left, and here's like, what's this, 400, 500, 450 Baal prophets over here, and one over of God over here, and Jezebel kind of like in the middle, and you know the story of what happened, and Elijah calls down the fire from heaven, and there speaks life to those people. My God's got this. Jezebel didn't like that. She sets out to kill him, and Elijah flees. I really didn't understand that part, because he flees, but he calls down God's fire, but then he flees. Somebody explain that to the preacher. I don't get it. God, fire from heaven, show up, boom, shows up. I'm out of here. I got to go. I got to leave. This wicked queen wants to kill me now. I just called down heaven's fire from heaven to consume this altar that we were doing this thing, and I take off, I'm running now. That's the story. Elijah ran from Jezebel, hid in a cave, story goes. He's afraid. The woman's wicked, killing all these prophets, and he's in her gun sights. And God says, wait a minute. That's not the position I put you in. I'm going to reposition you. I want you to go back in that town and have a little conversation with that peach of a lady. Go back. Go back into the town. Right? God repositioned Elijah right back where Jezebel was. The very lady, the armies that were trying to kill him. God says, don't hide in the cave. That's not the position I have for you. I want to reposition you back right where the enemy is. Right where his flesh didn't want to go. Thought goes like this. God could do the same with you and I. God may reposition you to confront your fears and deliver you once and for all. God just may say to you today, I want to reposition you right back to the enemy, whatever the enemy is in your situation. He may send you right back there and reposition you. You have to be ready for that. You have to be ready. You can't hide in a cave forever. At some point, you've got to listen to the call of God when he repositions you, takes you out of the cave, and sends you back into the battle. So I just want to go through a few points with you this morning and show you how the Scripture even comes alive even more, and watch how it applies to your life. And watch what God's Holy Spirit does in your heart, in your spirit, as you start to hear, if not already, what God has in store. Right? So listen to this. There's repositioning. There's a wrong place at a wrong time. We get repositioned because we're in the wrong place at the wrong time. We don't even know it. 2 Samuel 11:1 goes like this. In the spring, at the time when the kings go off to war. Time. Right place. Right time. Here we are in the springtime, Scripture says, at the time when the kings go off to war, David, King David, sends somebody else. He sends Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. 2 Samuel 11:1. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. See, there's this thing that goes on. The kings go off to war. What time? Springtime. They go off to war. Not only that king at that time, but all the other kings. But this particular king, David, decides he's not going to go. So right away, he's in the wrong timing because it's springtime and he's not going. And he's in the wrong place because he stays back home and sends the army out. Wrong place, wrong time. Now I'm going to tell you something, if you know the story. You're in the wrong place at the wrong time, nothing good's going to happen. You know the story, what happens here? You know. David sees this young, little, sweet-looking thing, right? And he gets himself in trouble. Why? Wrong place, wrong time. And he has a relationship with this lady, Bathsheba, and she gets pregnant. Wrong place, wrong time gets you in trouble every time. Wrong place, wrong time gets you in trouble every single time. So he starts fooling around with this girl. She gets pregnant. The husband comes back into town from war. You know this story. Now he's in trouble for being in the wrong place at the wrong time. He's home with somebody else's wife when he should have been out leading his troops to battle. And then he devises another plan to get himself out of the first mess of wrong place, wrong time. If I could just get this guy to go over to his house and spend some time with his wife, this whole thing goes away. They'll think it's his kid. I'm off the hook. I'm good. But this guy had character. Uriah says, I ain't going over there. My buddies are in battle. I'm not going home and spending time with my family and my wife. I'm not going. David didn't think that was going to happen. This guy wouldn't go home. David's in trouble, right? David's got to come up with some other story, some more things. David repositioned himself in the wrong place at the wrong time, and it got him in a lot of trouble. Church, think about what place you're in and what time you're in. Are you in the right place at the right time, or are you in the wrong place at the wrong time? That might be the reason why we struggle so much with some situation, because we're in the wrong place at the wrong time. And guess what? We may have placed ourselves there, and nothing good is going to happen if you are outside of God's divine time. You're stuck. Unless you get back into the divine will of God and get back and reposition yourself. God can tell you where to go, but you have to do it. David should have been out in battle at that time at a different place. Guess what? He never would have appeared down at the girl off the rooftop, right? He wouldn't have been there. He would have been leading the troops to battle. What do you think all the troops thought when he wasn't there, when all the other kings are out with their troops? Where's our king? It's springtime. Where's he at? He sent this other guy with us. That's not the guy. I wonder what they were thinking. Right? Here's another one for you. Right place, but the wrong time. You're in the right place, but it's just the wrong time. Paul, the story I just relayed, let me go back to that story. All these enemies of Paul wanted to kill him. He gets radically saved. I call it radically saved, right? You ever get radically saved? You see Jesus on the road, you're radically saved, right? That's a pretty big conversion, right? I didn't see Jesus on Damascus Road, but I tell you what, I think I got radically saved, right? And here's Paul, right place, wrong time. So he runs into the city of Damascus. He runs into some other places preaching the gospel hard, and everybody wants to kill him because he was the guy that just was persecuting Christians not too long ago. Right place, wrong time. Paul just went at it with both feet running. He's preaching up a storm, but yesterday, like I said, he wants to kill them all. Today, he is one of them. Now he has to explain that conversion process and why now he's protecting everybody and preaching about Jesus and, you know, what a conversion. Well, Pastor, that's a great testimony. We're sure. But convince the people in Damascus. So he leaves there. Everyone wants to kill him. He goes to another town, right? They wanted to kill him in Jerusalem, too. He had a zeal for God, but he didn't have the right time. He had the right place, the cities where he was going to preach at, but he didn't have the right time. Paul was so gung-ho to go that he just wasn't in God's timing, the Bible says. So God says, hold on. Let's just send you back to Tarsus. Let's send you back home so you can settle in a little bit. And then reposition you, and I'll send you back out. That's what the Bible says. So he does that. As soon as Paul goes home, settles down, and starts to really get to where he needs to be, the Bible says the churches found rest and peace, and they started to settle down. Why? Because Paul now is settling into going into the right place at the right time and not the right place at the wrong time. God repositioned him. I'm going to send you back out, but we're going to do it in my timing now, not you just going roughshod, fast, fast, fast. And you know the rest of the story. Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Powerful, powerful man of God. God will reposition us when we need to be repositioned, especially if we are affecting other people in a negative way. God will say, whoa, wait a second. See, Paul was all on fire, but he was affecting other people in a negative way. Goes to Damascus and makes them mad. Goes to Jerusalem and makes them madder. They all want to kill him. God pulls him back and says, oh, wait a second. Wrong time. Timing's off. It doesn't matter what you're saying if the timing's off because you need to be repositioned because they want to kill you. The Bible says the churches settled down and became restful and peaceful when Paul went back home for a season, and then he repositioned and sent back out. You know, when you're in the center of God's will, all the people around you should be edified, and they should be at rest. They should be peaceful. They should appreciate your anointing power. They should realize who you are, what you stand for. If not, God's got to reposition you to something else. That's exactly how that works. What about this one? Right place, right time. That's the big one. Right place, the right time. Tim, if you could switch that to the right place, right time, that'd be great. Right place, right time. I hope it's there. Might not be there. There. Oh, repositioning. Right place, wrong time. It should be right place, right time. Listen to this story. Right place, right time. The big one. It goes like this. John 4:5-9 says, so he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Who's this guy showing up, right? Jacob's well was there. Do we know? Yeah. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, he was sitting beside this well in Samaria. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, hey, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy some food, the scripture says. So the Samaritan woman said to him, hey, how is it you, a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan, Because the Jews really didn't have any dealings with Samaritans. You know the story? They didn't get along too well at that point in time. And Jews wouldn't go through Samaria, this town, this village. They take the long way around to go to where they needed to go. See, the Samaritan people, if you know the story, the northern tribe, the Israelites, they intermarried with some foreigners that settled in there over time. And so the Jews didn't really consider them true Jews. They were kind of like tainted Jews, right? That's kind of just bad, but that's what they thought. So they would go around this town. But Jesus was at the right place at the right time. He says, I'm going to go through the town because that's the direct point to where I want to get to. But everybody else would go around it because they didn't want to see the people. They didn't want to be positioned or repositioned to be exposed to the people. And here comes Jesus to give us the great example. I'm going to reposition everybody to follow my lead. He says, I'm going through the town. And I'm going to talk to whoever. I'm going to sit by this well and talk to this woman. And she's amazed. Aren't you a Jew? You're not supposed to be here. But all along, Jesus says, yes, I am supposed to be here. This is the position I should be, and you should be all along. The right place at the right time. But see, back then, they made a choice not to go through that town. So they could never be exposed to those people because they made this, you know, this observation of the kind of people they were. And Jesus says, no, we don't make observations. We go speak life to everybody. It doesn't matter who they are, where they are. If you go to where God sends you and it's a straight line with no crooked paths, you just go right there. You are in the right place. You are in the right time. And Jesus set the example. I don't want to go there, Pastor. I don't want to go. I knew this lady years ago who got radically saved, and she says, I've been called to go into the projects of this city, the housing developments, and speak life to everybody. And she would go in there at times when normally people wouldn't go in there, you know, and knock on the doors when people don't normally go in there. A direct line right to the people that needed her the most. That time, that place, I'm going. I don't care what that place looks like. I don't care what time it is. I'm just going to go where God wants me to go. Jesus says, I'll set the example for everybody. I'll go right through Samaria. I'll sit at the well. I'll talk to somebody who looks at me and says, wow, you're Jewish. Why are you talking to me? And Jesus had something for her. The same thing that you and I have for everybody. He had living water, he said in the scripture. I'm going to give you something better than physical water. I'm going to give you springs of living water, which was him, which is what you carry today, right into Samaria. Exactly what the people today need to hear. We all need to hear it. Canton needs to hear it. Maslin needs to hear it. Louisville, everywhere. They need you and I to go into Samaria, find the people, and say, I'm the right person at the right time, in the right place. It's me. Somebody's got to get excited about that. That's got to be us. That's got to be us. Jesus takes the direct route to Jerusalem, right where he needs, from Jerusalem to Galilee, right through Samaria, knowing full well, I've got to do it. 1 Corinthians 7:20 says it like this. Let every man keep the position in which he has been placed by God. What? There's a scripture like that? Yeah, there is. God gives you the position and then he repositions you, and you're going to stay there until he repositions you someplace else. In church today, what I want you to get out of this is, what are you doing right this day? What position do you see yourself in? And today, maybe more importantly, where does God want to send you? What's he want to do with you? Where does he want to place you next? Pastor, I think it's right here, right where I'm at, right where I'm doing, and the time. Great. Then you know But for others, and the ones that I've spoken to just this past week, feeling this stirring and unsettledness, and Pastor, I just don't feel like I'm doing the right things at the right time, at the right place, and I'm not, then you got to find that. You've got to be repositioned. And then they say, well, I'm not going to move until God tells me what it is. I said, well, maybe God's waiting for you to move to show you what it is. Right? Maybe God's just waiting for us to get up and walk into by the well in Samaria and sit down and take a drink before he starts revealing the purpose of what your visit's about. Maybe he just wants you to get up and do something. I don't know. But my questions to you today, are you willing to be reassigned? Are you willing to be repurposed? Are you willing to be in a new position? If you're sitting here today and you're feeling this tremendous stir inside of you, and you're asking God to give you some type of sign, God, tell me what it is. God needs to reposition you. Right place, right time. Maybe it's, you know that's coming, whatever that is. We used our oldest's job situation. It's working out great. How long? Don't know. Could be one more week. I don't know. Could be 20 years. Don't know. We know this. We know he got repositioned and it's right today. Are you willing to accept it? The new assignment. Are you willing to be repositioned for a new assignment, a new call? God's got this big plan, but we have to be willing to accept the assignment and get repositioned. Paul had just a tremendous zeal for God, for the kingdom. All about preaching the word. He just got ahead of God a little bit. Jumped in too fast. God pulls him back a little bit. Says, hold on. Sends him back home. Take a rest. Let's go. Now we're going to do it a little bit easier. That's what he did. That could be you. That could be me. That could be us. Is it? Is God stirring that inside you? Church, everything that has happened in your life was permitted by God for his work, his assignments, his position for you, and his reposition. Pastor, I made some big mistakes. Fine. The Bible says you can come right back into a straight line and make your crooked ways straight. It's never too late. It's only too late if you never do it. But today, we're going to pray before we leave. And I believe God's going to speak to you today. And you're going to walk out of here saying, that is the service I needed to hear at this exact time in that exact place. And if that is you, and there's only one, then I know that I heard from heaven and I preached to the right people on the right time, the right place. I could probably tell you who you are. So let's bow our hearts. We're going to go to heaven as we close. And we're going to pray, God, if there's a repositioned assignment for me, reveal that today, and I will walk in it. Dear Lord God, in Jesus' name, Father God, I pray. I thank you, Lord God, for the position you've placed me in. Lord God, I thank you that my heart is open to be repositioned to a new assignment. Lord, if that is me, Pastor Brad, Father God, if there is something there you want me to do, if there's some place you want me to go, if there's some new assignment, tell me. But Lord God, I know that right now I'm in the right place, the right time. But Lord God, there may be those that are sitting here today that don't feel that. For whatever reason, job, situations, or what have you. Lord, I pray right now in Jesus' name, that you will speak life, Lord God, to them and let them know exactly, just like you did for our oldest, Lord, on his job. Father, let them know what the repositioned assignment is. Let them go right through Samaria, Lord God, if they need to get to the assignment, or let the assignment be in Samaria, whatever it is, Lord God. But I pray today that they are open to be repositioned. I pray that they're open to that new assignment, whatever that new assignment is, Lord God. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Hey, stand with me as we close. Hey, we love you. Don't forget to speak life to everyone that you see throughout this week. Come back next week at 10 o'clock ready to give those testimonies of how God has repositioned you into a new assignment. God bless you. We love you.